Okay, good evening, everyone. This week's parasha is Parashas Va'era. We begin on page 318. Va'idaber Elokim Moshe, and Hashem spoke to Moshe. Va'imer Elav Ani Hashem, and he said to him, "I am God." To appreciate what's happening here, we have to go back to the end of last week's parasha, where Moshe and Aaron had gone to Paro, and Paro had increased the intensity of the labor by telling the Jewish slaves more that they will not be supplied with straw anymore. They have to gather the straw and still produce the same amount of bricks. And Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe says to Hashem, this is page 316, Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayashav Moshe Hashem Vayamar. Moshe says to Hashem, Hashem lama harei oislam azeh, why have you done bad with this nation? Lama zeh shlachtani, why have you sent me? V'yazbasi al paro l'daber b'shmecha, hera lama zeh. From the time that I have come to speak to Paro in your name, he has done bad with this nation. You have not yet saved your nation. So Moshe has lodged a complaint, but the fact that ever since he has started fulfilling the mission of being Hashem's agent to take the Jewish people out, agent to Paro, Paro has actually made things worse. So Lamezeh Shalach, why have you done bad to this nation? Why have you sent me? So, as Rashi explains, this week's parsha, the beginning of this week's parsha is a response. And the response starts off where Hashem says, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem. And Ani Hashem means, Nemel Shalem Sachar Tel Mesachim Lefanai. The name of Hashem, Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, represents the name of Hashem that says, I am trusted, I am believable, I can be trusted to fulfill my promises. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the name of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, my name of Hashem, I did not make known to them. So Rashi explains that when Hashem promised Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Eretz Yisrael, and everything that goes along with it, the name that was used, that when he appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov and made these promises, the name that Hashem used was Kel Shakai. He did not use the name Hashem. Ushmi Hashem l'nidati lahem. I made a promise using the name Kel Shakai, but my name of Hashem, Yud Kei Vav Kei, I was not known to them by. Which Rashi says, the name of Hashem, as Rashi said before, represents that Hashem is trusted to fulfill his promises. But being that the promises that are made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were not fulfilled in their lifetime, then this attribute of the fact that Hashem keeps his promises was not known to them. They had not seen the fulfillment of it. I'm going to translate literal. And also, I have Hakimaisi. I have Hakimaisi could have been translated as I have fulfilled. But we'll translate it now as also I have established Esprisi Itam, my covenant with them. Lasseis Eretz Canaan, to give them the land of Canaan. Es Eretz Megurei Shagoruba, the land was a sojourning that they lived in. Okay, so Rashi says on these words, "V'gam akimaisi sprisi," and also I establish my covenant, "Gam kshenreisi lohem b'kel shakai." Also, when I appeared to them using the name of Kel Shakai, meaning identifying myself with that name, "Hitzavti v'marati brisi b'nei v'neihem," I established a covenant with them. Okay, so let's take these two pesukim and put them together. Hashem starts up saying, "I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov using the name of Kel Shakai, but my name, which represents my believability, my trustworthiness to fulfill my promises, was not known to them, because they didn't see the fulfillment of that. And also, I established a covenant with them." Now, what's the also? It would seem that it's one thing together. I appeared to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, Kel Shakai, they didn't see the fulfillment, and I established a covenant with them, which is what I did when I appeared with Kel Shakai. Okay, I established a covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan. It's not something else. It's seemingly the same thing, isn't it? And what exactly is the purpose of starting of saying that Hashem says, you know, I appeared to Avraham Yaakov with the name Kel Shakai, but I didn't, they were not, I was not known to them with my name that represents my trustworthiness. Okay, and also I established a covenant. It's not an also, it's the same thing, isn't it? I made a promise, it wasn't fulfilled. Okay, and the truth is, why is Hashem, and if that's the point that he's saying in the first pasuk, what again is he even repeating and saying, and I establish my covenant? What more is he saying? Isn't that the same thing as was said before? So the answer that the Sifsei Chachamim, the commentary of Sifsei Chachamim and Rashi, says that Rashi is trying to answer this question. When Rashi says, and I also, when I appear to them with the name of Kal Shakai, I establish the covenant. And that means like this. That means, is as Rashi said before, the name of Hashem represents the fact that Hashem is trustworthy to fulfill His promises that the Abbas, Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, did not see. They did not see that because Hashem appeared to them when making those promises with the name of Kal Shakai. Kal Shakai is a promise, but if Hashem would have used the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means trustworthy to fulfill the promise, then the promise they would have had to have, my understanding of what the Hizrachim says is that if that name would have been used, they would have had to have seen the fulfillment of it. And it would have to be fulfilled, because that's what the name of Hashem represents. Yud Kei Vav Kei means that Hashem fulfills His promises. And therefore, if that name would have been used, then that name would have guaranteed a fulfillment of the promise. Fulfillment, it would have guaranteed fulfillment of the promise. So Hashem says to Moshe, you know, you came telling me, why did you send me? And things have gotten worse. So let's start with this. When I pray to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, I use the name of Kal Shakai. Okay? And therefore, that name does not necessarily, so to speak, guarantee that I'm going to fulfill my promise. It could be they're not going to be worthy of my fulfillment of the promise. If the Jewish people aren't worthy of the fulfillment, that's not going to happen. And the name Kal Shakai was the name that was used there. And therefore, you might think that it's possible that I won't fulfill this promise, which may be part of your complaining, as to why you're sending me and things are getting worse. The answer to that is the Gam Hakimaisi, I also establish a covenant. Which means, yes, I use the name Kal Shakai, but I also establish a covenant. And once I establish a covenant, once I make a bris, once I make a covenant with them, then it has to be kept. Kal Shakai with a covenant is equal to using the name of Yud Kei Vav Kei, which means it has to happen. So for Moshe to think that perhaps the promise here is not going to happen, Hashem is saying it's going to happen. It's got to be fulfilled. Although I used the name Kal Shakai when I appeared to them and made the promise, but I also made a bris. And that guarantees, that so to speak, obligates that it has to eventually be fulfilled. Okay? So the pasuk, the Vagam means to say, although I used the name Kal Shakai when I appeared to them, there was a, and therefore you might think that therefore there's no guarantee to the promise. The Gama Kimaisius Brisi, I established a covenant. When I appeared to them, Bekal Shakai, I established a covenant. And once I establish a covenant with the name Kal Shakai, then it's guaranteed that it's going to be fulfilled. What's next? Let's look at Pasuk Hei. The Gama Nishamati, and also I have heard, as Nakas B'nai Yisrael, the cries of the Jewish people, Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Aysam, that the Egyptians are enslaving them. For as Kares Brisi, and I have remembered my covenant. Okay, so here again, we have the word Vegam Anishamati, and also I have heard. What's the also? I mean, Hashem seems to be saying, I've heard their cries. It's time to get working and fulfilling the promise and the covenant. What's the also? So the wording of Rashi is, Rashi says, Vegam Ani, Pasakei, Vegam Ani, Kamoshi, Tzavti, Vemarati, Habris, just like I have established the covenant, Yeshalai Lakayim, I have to fulfill it. Lefikach, therefore, Shamati is Nakas B'nai Yisrael. I hear the cries of the Jewish people, Hanoikim, that are crying out, Asher Mitzrayim Avidim Aysam, over the fact that the Egyptians are enslaving them. Ve'eskar Oisei Abris, and I remember that covenant that I made with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So, again, let's try to figure this out. Ve'gam Ani Shamati, and also I have heard. Rashi says, Ve'gam Ani, and also I, look, I made the covenant, I got to keep it. What exactly is the point of what's the vegam? What is the also that I have to keep my promise? I've made the promise, I have to keep it. What is this vegam also? Hashem made a promise, he has to keep it. And if he's saying that's what I'm doing, what's the also? So the Sifrei Chachamim says that what Rashi here is doing is Rashi is actually trying to tell you how to read the pasuk. Don't read the pasuk as Vegam Ani Shamati, and also I have heard. Because also I have heard sounds like somebody else has heard, and also I've heard. That's what it sounds like. Vegam Ani Shamati, and also I've heard. Has somebody else heard? I'm the one who has to hear. Was there something else I've heard, and now I heard this also? What is also I've heard? So therefore, Rashi says, the read the pasuk is v'gamani, as Rashi said. As the pasuk said before, with Kel Shakai, I made a covenant. That now guarantees fulfillment. V'gamani, and also I, comma, or take a little pause, v'gamani, and also I, the next step, it's not so much an also, but, and the next step now is, that I have to go ahead and fulfill that promise. And therefore, shamati, I have heard their cries, and now after hearing their cries, I remember the covenant. So Moshe's problem was, why did you send me? And things have gotten worse. And the answer, and I'm not going to get so much into this part, but the answer, says the Sifsa Chacham according to Rashi, is that, you know why I've been sent? You're being sent to go in and fulfill a covenant. Don't fret and don't be afraid that perhaps things aren't going to work out. Although I use the name Kel Shakai, I made a covenant, I made a bris, it's got to happen. It's got to happen. Now, it's got to happen, and at this point, it's going to start happening because I have heard the cries of the Jewish people. You were asked, you Moshe, you asked, things have gotten worse, what's going on? The answer is, things have gotten worse so that now I listen to the cries of the Jewish people, and through that, I remember the covenant. So you want to know, why am I being sent? Right? Why am I being sent? What's the point? Nothing seems to be working. The answer is, don't worry about that. It's going to be fulfilled. There's a bris. There's a covenant. It's got to be fulfilled. What about the fact that things have gotten worse? They've gotten worse because by getting worse, and now that their affliction is so great, and they cry out for it, that now allows, that through that, I now hear their cries and remember the covenant. That's how it all works together. The way the Sifsa Chachamim learns in Rashi, based on the commentary of Nachlas Yaakov, the increase, the idea of the slavery getting worse at this point of time, that is what now makes it that the cries of the Jewish people are heard by Hashem to fulfill the covenant. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'm going to get into that part right now. But that's just putting it all together. But what I wanted to focus on primarily are these vagams. What's the alsos? What's the also? And in some ways, also doesn't mean also. It just means kind of the next step. It would seem the first vagam is also. I appeared to Avram in the name of Kel Shakai. I also made a covenant. And also meaning, and now the next thing is that I have to fulfill that covenant, which I'm ready to do now, because I've heard the cries of the Jewish people. Okay, that's how the vagams come together. Maybe the vagam also, even in the third, it means, and also, I, who have now established the covenant, have to fulfill my promise, and therefore I can also now, in addition to everything now, I can also hear their cries and now respond and remember the covenant. Okay, so that is how we deal with those words, vagam, according to Rashi, in the way that Sifsa Chacham explains Rashi. I want to share with you now a homiletical interpretation, which is really a very nice idea. And it's really based on what we said was the Sifsa Chacham's question on Pasuk Hey, where it says, Vegamani Shamatis Nakas B'nai Yisrael. And also I have heard the cries of the B'nai Yisrael. So he said, the Sifsa Chacham said, Rashi is bothered by what's that also I have heard. Also I've heard sounds like someone else has heard, and also I've heard. So Rashi says, and who's that other, and who's that someone else? So therefore, Rashi says, "Vegam ani" means, and also I have to fulfill my promise, and therefore, shamati, I have heard the cries of the Jewish people. So there's a story of the Chassam Sefer in the following, that a person wanted to go into a business venture. He needed help with his parnasa, with his livelihood. He wanted to go into a certain business venture, and he came to the Chassam Sefer for a blessing that he should succeed. So the Chassam Sefer told him, you can't succeed, or I can't give you a bracha to succeed unless you help out your brother who's also needy. Your brother is needy. He's been crying out to you. You need to help him. You need to help him. So the man responded, how can I help him? I need help myself. I'm not doing my livelihood myself. How can I help him? So on that, the Chassam Sefer responded with the following. The Rebbeinu Shlomo says to Moshe Rabbeinu, and also I have heard the cries of the Jewish people. So the question is, what's the also I have heard? Also I've heard means, sounds like somebody else has heard, and also I've heard. Who's the someone else? Said the Chassam Sefer, the someone else was the Jews themselves. The Jews have heard the cries of their brethren, and also I hear their cries. Because of the fact that although they themselves are slaves and downtrodden, they still hear the pain and the suffering of the other one. Therefore, also I listen to their pains. If you want the Rebbeinu Shem to listen to your cries, you have to be open listening to the cries of someone else. And even if you yourself are needy, and you say to yourself, I have my own problems, what's good? How can I go and listen to somebody else and deal with somebody else's issues? No, that's not the right attitude. The attitude has to be that that no matter what your situation is, you still hear the cries and the needs of someone else. And when that happens, the Rebbeinu Shem will also hear your cries for your needs. That's how the Chassam Sefer homiletically interpreted this pasuk. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Vav. Lochein, therefore, Emor Levnei Yisrael Ani Hashem. Say to the Jewish people, I am Hashem. I shall take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. I shall save you from their slavery. I shall redeem you with an outstretched arm, and with great judgments. Okay, now let's focus on two words. Actually, the same word that's mentioned twice. We just read in Pasuk Vav, I should take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. Okay? Look at that word, siblais, which means burdens. How is it spelled? Samach, vav, lamed, saf. Okay, let's move on. Pasuk Zayin. V'lakachti aschem li la'am, I shall take you for me as a nation. V'yisi lachem le'elokim, I shall be for you as a God. V'idatem k'ani Hashem elokeichem, you shall know that I am Hashem your God. Hamoitzi aschem, who took you out, mitach ha-sivlais Mitzrayim, from under the burdens of Egypt. Again, that word sivlais, right? Burdens. But there's a difference in the word. This time, the word sivlais has a vav in it. Samach vav lamed vav saf. The first, the time before, in pasuk vav, when it said sivlais, the same word, read is pronounced the same way, there's no vav. One is sivlais without a vav, one is sivlais with a vav. The reading is the same, but the spelling is different. So what lies behind this difference in the fact that the first time the word sivlais has the word vav, and this time it doesn't? So the Ber Yosef says the following explanation. And that is that when the Jewish people were enslaved in Egypt, they basically carried two burdens, or they needed to be redeemed from two different, call them general aspects of what slavery did to them. Number one, when you're enslaved, you're physically suffering. And they need to be redeemed from that. But then the Ber Yosef says there was another aspect of suffering. And he calls that, there was inui haguf, that's the physical affliction. Then there was inui hanefesh, an affliction of the soul. And the way he explains affliction of the soul is that as descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Jewish people had what he calls a unique adinus hanefesh. Adinus hanefesh means a refinement of the soul, a refinement of the character. Avraham and Yaakov were pure people. They had purified their personalities, their souls, their essence, and they passed that down to their descendants. The Jewish people had within them, was really essentially part of their nature, this refinement of character that they had inherited from their forefathers. When you become a slave, you lose your refinement. It's just the nature of the situation. You're being enslaved, you're downtrodden, you're involved with mundane, physical, hard labor. You're involved in a more coarse form of life, and it makes you coarser. So that adinus hanefesh, the inui hanefesh, there's the inui haguf, reflection of the body, and there's inui hanefesh, reflection of the soul. And reflection of the soul in this case meant that the slavery had turned them into coarse people, people who had lost their refinement of character. But worse than just losing the refinement of character is the fact that when you lose that refinement of character, it's something that kind of takes time. It's something that creeps up on you, right? You start off as a very fine person, and because you're so involved in these coarse matters, slowly but surely, you lose that refinement until you become a coarse person. But you don't necessarily realize it's happening, because it happens slowly, it happens subtly, and you change, and you don't even realize you changed. So when the Jewish people would be redeemed, it would be very clear to them that the slavery is off, right? The physical affliction is off. That everybody feels. No one has any questions about that. But the idea that now they're being redeemed from the coarseness of their soul, from the coarseness of their character, that now they have to go work their way back to be more refined, that's not something they would necessarily realize right away, because they didn't even realize that they became coarse. They didn't even realize necessarily that they lost that refinement of character. So therefore, the pasuk says like this, says the Bar Yosef. The first time it says, L'chein emar l'vnei Yisrael ani Hashem, v'yitzeisi eschem mitachas sivleis Mitzrayim, I will take you out from under the burdens of Egypt. That time it doesn't say above. If it doesn't say above, then you could have read the word as sivlas, which means the burden, singular form. And that represents, or that alludes to the fact that Hashem says, I'll take you out. And just by taking out, you'll be taken out from one form of burden, the inui haguf, the affliction, your physical affliction, that you'll be taken out of, and you'll realize you're being taken out of that. Then it says, and I'll save you from their work, and I'll redeem you with outstretched arm and with great judgments, and I'll take you for a nation, and I will be for you for a God. Vidata, and then you will know that I am Hashem who takes you out from under the burdens of Egypt. At that point of time, when I take you for a nation, then you're going to realize that Hashem took you out not just from one burden, not just from one affliction, the physical affliction, but then you're going to realize Hashem took you out from the affliction of your souls. Hashem took you out from the coarseness of what happened to you while you're in Egypt. You're going to be, once you're raised up through Matan Torah to become the nation of Hashem, you're going to look back and say, "Ooh, look at we know what happened." They're going to when after being elevated as they were, as they're going to be, they're going to look back and say, "Ooh, look what we were before," and then they're going to really understand and appreciate that there was a second, there was sivlais with a vav, which that you can't translate as anything but plural form. They are already civilized. Then you're going to realize there were two burdens, there were two afflictions, and that I took you out even from that affliction also. So that's how the Bar Yosef explains why we have the first time it says above, the second time not. The initial Yitzias Mitzrayim, the initial take coming out of Egypt, they would realize Hashem has taken them away from the physical affliction. Once they would come to the point that Hashem takes them for a nation with the giving of the Torah, then already they would understand that Hashem took them out from two burdens, from two afflictions, from the affliction that happened to the soul, the coarseness that suddenly and creeped up on them and took them over without them even realizing it. They will realize then that Hashem saved them from that, and that they have returned to the refinement of character that they inherited from Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov. They'll realize that then when Hashem takes them as a nation. That's when they'll realize that Yetzias Mitzrayim gained them not only physical freedom, but a spiritual freedom, a freedom of spirit. Okay. Now, I'd like to share with you a parable that I've mentioned this before, and where I have seen this parable is used in the following way. Hashem is already promising the Jewish people, I'm going to take you out from under the burdens of Egypt, and I'm going to make you for my people. I take you out of Mitzrayim, out of Egypt. 49 days later, I'll take you as my people with the giving of the Torah. And we know that the Jewish people had sunk spiritually very low in Egypt. As our sages say, they sunk to the 49th level of impurity. And in a short period of time, they whisked out of Mitzrayim, and they went through the awesome experience of giving the Torah. Very quick change in a very short period of time. And one may wonder, how did the process take place? The process basically took place. Moshe Rabbeinu came. There were 10 plagues. Makkos Becharis finished. Was the final blow. The Jewish people wrote a Korban Pesach, which clearly on their part was a great act of self-sacrifice. And they wrote to go out. How are we supposed to understand how this is all working? How is this all working? How is it all working that a people that are sunk to such a low level of spirituality are going to merit redemption to the highest level How do they merit such a great redemption when they had sunk to such a low level? And we know that Karma Pesach was part of that process, but how do we put that whole process together? How can we explain that whole the whole process? So I saw the following mashal. There was a chicken farmer who his daddy was a chicken farmer and his granddaddy was a chicken farmer, and he knew nothing but raising chickens. And he never even left the chicken farm. He had no reason to. So he really knew nothing more in life than raising chickens. And one day he decided, you know, I'm going to take a walk. What's the world look like outside of the chicken farm? So he took a little walk in the forest, and he notices, look, there's a little chick on the ground there. And he figured, wow, I just found this chicken in the forest, and I'll bring it back to my chicken farm, and he'll join all the other chickens. What he didn't realize was that it wasn't a chicken on the ground. It was an eagle, or an eaglet, whatever you call them when they're little. But to him, you know, if it has feathers and it has wings and it looks like a chicken, then it's a chicken, right? Every bird's a chicken, except the ones that fly in the sky, okay? It's chicken. So he took it home, and he put the eagle in the chicken coop amongst other chickens. And, you know, if you grow up amongst chickens, then, you know, you think you're a chicken. The eagle didn't have anything for it to learn from, to realize, or any kind of experience that it should think it was anything other than that. It looks around. The other chickens are just kind of like, you know, they kind of fly around a little bit here and there, and they peck on the ground and eat seed. And it did the same thing, because that's what it's surrounded by. Okay. One day, a visitor comes to the chicken farm. He's a hunter. And he asks the farmer if he could stay overnight on his farm. And the farmer agreed. He decided to give the hunter a tour. Yeah, show him his chicken farm. So as he takes the hunter through the chicken coop, the hunter gasps. And he looks and he sees the baby eagle over there, like, you know, clucking around with all the chickens. And the farmer asks him, like, what's the matter? And he says, that bird. And the farmer says, what about it? It's a chicken. He says, it's not a chicken. It's not a chicken. That's an eagle. I'm a hunter. I know animals. I know birds. That's no chicken. That's an eagle. It doesn't belong here. And the farmer got very irritated. And he said, look, I know chickens. And when I see a chicken, I know a chicken. And if you don't like it, then you don't have to stay here. So the hunter stopped talking about it and, you know, moved on. At night, the hunter is laying in bed and he's saying, this can't happen. Can't allow this to happen. Can't allow this eagle, basically, to be wasted away. And in the darkness of the night, he sneaks out of the farmer's house, sits in the chicken coop, goes over to the eagle and he says, come, my little friend. I'm going to show you who you really are. And he takes the eagle out, and he starts climbing up a mountain. When he gets to the mountain, the sun is rising, and he puts the little eagle on the floor, and he says, "My wonderful eagle, you're an eagle. You're not a chicken. Fly." And the eagle looks at him like, you know, what are you talking about? And he says, "No, no, no, my friend, you're an eagle. You're an eagle. Fly." And the eagle looks around. There's no other chickens around. It's not crowded. Lots of room, lots of space. And it starts kind of moving around. And as it moves around, it starts to kind of realize that it could actually flap its wings. And it starts to fly a little bit and a little more. And it realizes that there's nothing in its way. And as time keeps going and the eagle starts feeling its way around, eventually it spreads its wings and it soars off into the sky. So the mashal, this is a mashal for the Jewish people. The Jewish people had sunk to the 49th level of Tumah, and they lost the realization of who they were. They didn't realize anymore who they were as descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Did not realize the greatness, the potential, the kedusha that they had within them as descendants of Yitzchak and Yaakov. They had lost that realization through the slavery in Egypt. that, as we said before, had made their character course, it contaminated their neshamas, they forgot who they were. When they brought the Korban Pesach, and they actually were ready to defy Egypt and its deity, by taking the lamb, its deity of the Egyptians, and slaughtering it as a Korban Pesach, because Hashem is going to take us out of Mitzrayim, that was when they showed, that's when they showed that they still had that potential to be who they can be. They still had the potential to be the children of Yitzchak and Yaakov. If they could do this, they had the potential to still to return to the greatness of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So true, they had sunk to the 49th level of Tumah. But what they did by the Korban Pesach was show that they still had the greatness of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov within them. And they could bring it out. They could live it. They could act by it. And that was their merit to be redeemed. And with that, they could then be taken out of Mitzrayim and brought to the level of becoming the nation of Hashem to fulfill the promises that Hashem made to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So I like taking this mashal, as I said before, that it's a mashal to the idea, and I think it works out very well with this Ber Yosef, that, you know, the same way the eagle didn't know it was an eagle, right? It needed to be taken out. It needed to be freed to realize it was an eagle. Again, the Jewish people, as the Ber Yosef says, forgot that refinement of character that they had inherited from Atzer, Rav, and Yaakov. They lost track of it. They didn't know what it was. And when the Korban Pesach would be brought, and they would show what they can do, then that brought them back to start realizing who they are. They fully appreciated what they were when Hashem gave them the Torah. And when they were elevated to that level of being the nation of the Torah, and as the Ber Yosef says, that's when they really realized what had happened to them in Mitzrayim, and what being taken out of Mitzrayim did for them, and what the Torah has done for them. That's when they realized truly who they were. That's when they returned to fully understand, appreciate who they were as descendants of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. But in Mitzrayim, they lost track of it. And it was only through being taken out, and again, through what they did by the Korban Pesach, and then eventually receiving the Torah, that had them fully realize what had happened to them and what had happened to them in Mitzrayim, and to fully realize and come back to who they are as the progeny of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
Still, they kind of did run away.
That's separate. That's separate. That's separate. There's always challenges. There are always challenges, but there's a difference between being completely, almost like forgetting who you are, and knowing who you are and having to deal with challenges. Okay. Now, so we have just read, you know, the message that Hashem is saying for Moshe, to deliver to the Jewish people, to the fact that although things have gotten worse, I can be trusted to fulfill my covenant. I have heard their cries, and therefore now is the time that I will begin to fulfill that covenant. So Hashem says to the Jewish people, I'll take you out from under the burdens, I'll save you, I'll redeem you, I'll take you as a nation. And then Pasuk Ches reads, Revesi Eschem al Aretz Asher Nasas Yisyodi, L'sei Yisrael Avraham Yitzchak L'Yaakov. And I will bring you to the land that I have sworn to give it to Avraham Yitzchak and to Yaakov. V'nesati Yisrael L'chem Arasha Ani Hashem, I shall give it to you as a heritage, I am Hashem. That's the message. Vayedaber Moshe Kena B'nei Yisrael. Moshe spoke these words to the Jewish people. V'loy Shemu El Moshe. And they did not listen to Moshe. V'kaitse Ruach Maveda Kasha. Because of shortness of breath and hard work. They were so overworked that they didn't listen. They didn't heed, whatever the words you want to use, the art school, they didn't heed Moshe. But they didn't listen to what he said because they were just so overworked. He's giving them this message, and they're like, oh, just leave us alone. You know, we don't have the strength to listen to this. We don't have the time to listen to this. Just, you know, they just didn't listen because they were so overworked and so pressured. So, the Medrash Rabbah, on these words, they did not listen to Moshe because of shortness and breath and the hard work, says the following. Hayakasha be'ineyem, it was difficult in their eyes, lefroish be'avaitas kachavim, to separate themselves, to abandon idol worship. As slaves to the Egyptians, they also became idol worshippers to a degree. And when it says they didn't listen to Moshe because of the difficult work, shortness of breath and difficult work, it means that it was difficult for them to abandon idol worship. The prophet Yechezkel writes that Hashem sent the messenger to the Jewish people in Egypt to forsake idol worship, but they wouldn't do it. So the Medrash is applying those psukim in the book of Yechezkel that talks about how that Hashem had sent a prophet to admonish the Jewish people to forsake idol worship, but they didn't do so. The Medrash applies that here to this pasuk. When the pasuk says the Jewish people didn't listen to Moshe because of shortness of breath and hard work, it means that they didn't want to give up idol worship. Okay, now where does the Medrash see this here? I mean, it says they didn't listen because of hard work and shortness of breath. Where do we get that it had to do with the fact that they couldn't give up idol worship? And how does that fit into the words? How does that fit into the fact that Torah says they didn't listen because of hard work and shortness of breath? So the commentary on the Medrash of Etz Yosef cites the Mechilta, another form of Medrash. And the Mechilta says like this, and they didn't listen to Moshe out of shortness of breath. Says the Mechilta, is there any person who gets a good who hears good news, who receives good news, doesn't rejoice? Noilid ben Zachar, your wife had a boy. Rabbah Maitziach Lacheris, your master is going to take you out to freedom. Veda Samech is not going to be happy. If so, what does the pasuk mean when it says didn't listen to Moshe? It was too hard for them to separate themselves from idol worship. And then again, the Mechilta brings the pasuk by from Yechezkel. All right. So let's analyze this.
Something, you know, happy, it means you're losing something. You're unhappy because you're losing something.
Okay.
So that's what it says, right?
Well, let's work it through. Okay. The Medrash starts with a question: how could we then listen to Moshe? Right. If you get a piece of good news, you're not going to be happy. Now, wait a minute. Okay. When you get, I don't know if I would be if I'm a tortured slave, right? And somebody tells me your master's going to free you, and not only that, I got that message before, it didn't work the first time. Things got worse. So what do you want? How do you want me to react? Why is it so surprising that they hear they're going to be free and they're not happy? They heard that before and it didn't work. Backfired. So why should they be happy now? But the Medrash seems to say, okay, that no. You know, if you got a message, your master's going to free you. And then, I don't know, things seem to get worse. But you get the message again, right? You're not going to be like, who cares? You'll probably be hopeful. You'll at least be hopeful. Maybe even be happy. Okay, yeah, I'm getting the message again. All right, the first time didn't work out, I'm getting the message again. There should be some kind of reaction. Some kind of reaction there should be. And it says they didn't react. So there must be something else going on here. And what's that? They didn't want to give up idol worship. Now, the Etz Yosef, in his explanation, continues, and he says, Ritzono Leimar, what does it mean? The aspect that Hashem is going to redeem them in the future, that they heard. But they didn't listen to Moshe about separating from idol worship. Mikaitse ruach, from shortness of spirit. Ki rucha v'nishmasam lo mutaharihi, because their spirit, their neshamas, were not pure. The kasher lem lifreish me'akum, and it was difficult for them to therefore give up pagan worship. So the Etz Yosef is saying that the question of the Medrash was, they're not going to be happy, they're not going to listen to the fact that they're going to be redeemed, they're going to be freed. So says the Etz Yosef, the Medrash is saying, that they heard. But Moshe seemed to have another message. Another message was, and you're going to have to give up idol worship. That already lay shamu. That they didn't hear. That they weren't going to accept. Why? Mikaitza ruach. The Etz Yosef is saying, how is it alluded to in the words? The words of mikaitza ruach, shortness of ruach, shortness of spirit, here means shortness of greatness, shortness of the power of the spirit, shortness of the power of their neshama. Because their neshama were so contaminated with idol worship that they didn't want to hear about abandoning it. So the Tzaddik is saying that, sure, they heard the message of redemption, but there was a part of that message they weren't going to hear, and that was about giving up idol worship. Now, I think it's also important to point out that, you know, but the simple explanation of the Pasuk, I mean, is the Medrash telling us new interpretation of the Pasuk. Don't interpret it as shortness of breath and hard work. It means idol worship. That's change the meaning of the Pasuk. I don't think that's what it means. The Pasuk still has its simple interpretation, which means that when Moshe was delivering the message, they were not all listening. There was something missing there. And it appeared, and not only appeared, and what was working within them, what was happening to them that they weren't listening? Well, they were just so overworked and so overburdened and so pressured that they just couldn't hear. The Medrash is telling us, right, that doesn't make sense. Because that alone shouldn't be, shortness of breath and being overworked is not enough not to react and not to be happy about the good news. The answer is there's something deeper going on in the inside. On the outside, and actually in their reaction is they're too overworked to listen. But that's not really what that reaction is to. That's really the, call it the outward manifestation of what's going on the inside, which is we don't want to give up idol worship. We don't want to do that. So it's really an example of so many times how we can react in certain ways, and on the surface, so to speak, we could think our reaction is for one reason, and really deep down there's something else that's really working. What's really happening deep down is something deeper. It manifests itself on the outside in a certain way, you know? It can manifest on the outside that somebody's very angry, and somebody's very upset, right? And it can seem that they're just very ill-tempered and very selfish and very self-centered, but inside, deeper, there can be something much deeper and much more serious that's making them react that way. There's a lot of people have lots of different layers to them. And this is an example that the outside layer of the reaction was they're too overworked to listen to Moshe. But deep down there was something much, much deeper and actually worse. And that was their inability to give up their lifestyle. The ability to give it up. Excuse me?
Idol worship.
Whatever form it means. Pagan worship.
I'm not so sure. And they must have felt a certain benefit.
No, it's not. Well, of course. Sure. You're always, somebody's going to feel some kind of benefit or allegiance to it. But at the end of the day, you get so caught up in it. And don't forget, the Gemara tells us we don't have a Yetzirah. We don't have even an inclination from a desire anymore. Our sages daven that it should be taken away. But before they took it away, it was very, very, very intense. Okay? But it was something, again, it was a lifestyle that they weren't ready to give up. And because they weren't ready to give up, the whole message of redemption wasn't gonna work for them. Now, with this, the Eitz Esav explains Rashi. All right, let's look now. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Vayidaber al Paro melech Mitzrayim. Go speak to Paro, king of Egypt. Vishalachas b'nei Yisrael me'artzai, and he shall send the Jewish people from his land. Vayidaber Moshe lefnei Hashem lemar. Moshe speaks before Hashem, saying, "Hey, Bnei Yisrael, Shemu Eli. Behold, the Jewish people didn't listen to me. Ve'echishmeini Paroi. How is Paroi going to hear me? Vanir al svasayim, and I have sealed lips." So Rashi tells us that Moshe is saying, when Moshe says, "Ve'echishmeini Paroi," Moshe says, "How? Behold, the Jewish people didn't listen to me. How can Paroi listen to me?" Says Rashi, "Ze'ech me'asar kavachemer shebatera." This is one of 10 kavachemers mentioned in the Torah. Kal v'chomer is a process of deriving one thing from another thing, that if we have concept A, what seems to be kal, it seems to be lighter, okay, all the more so it's going to be by something that's more serious, more strict, okay? So if the Jewish people listen to me, you think Paz will listen to me? V'anir asav asayim, which means, and also, I got this speech problem. Now, the question is asked that we have here, Moshe is making a kal v'chomer. If the Jewish people didn't listen to me, Paro's not going to listen to me. Okay, but Rashi calls it a kal v'chomer. A kal v'chomer, right? you could ask. Like, we're working with a Talmudic form of derivation from the Torah, and that's what's happening here. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was using. So the question is, but the pasuk just said before that the reason why Jewish people didn't listen to him was because Rechem Avei Dekasha. They were too overworked. They were too overworked. That's why they didn't listen. Pari's not overworked. He's fine. He's doing great. So the reason that applies to the Jewish people doesn't apply to Paro. So if so, you don't have a Kal V'Chomer. You can't make a Kal V'Chomer when one has one reason and when the other reason doesn't have the reason. If the whole point of the Jewish people not listening was because they're overworked and enslaved, and if they don't listen, Paro also, he's not enslaved. He doesn't have any problems like they do. He doesn't have anything disturbing him from listening. Says the Eitz Yosef, the Pshat's like this. The Jewish people didn't listen to me. Why, says the Medrash? Because of Avodah Zarah, right? They don't want to listen to the message of Hashem because of Avodah Zarah. So you think Paro is listening to the message of Hashem? He is even worse than Avodah Zarah. He worships idols even worse. He himself thinks he's an idol.
Yeah.
That's the Kal V'Chomer. If the Jewish people don't listen to me because of idol worship, all the more so, Paro is not going to listen to me because of that. So that's very geschmack. That's very nice. Okay.
But Paro sees why
should
you listen from the Jews
that
working very hard?
That's true. Okay. Let us now go to...
Which is a difficult Kal V'Chomer because generally it's much harder to convince Jews.
All right. Okay. New question on the Kal V'Chomer. Okay, Pasuk, page 320. Actually, that's where we just were. All right. So Moshe Rabbeinu says he's not going to listen. Let's continue. Vayidaber Hashem al Moshe Lemar. Hashem spoke to Moshe saying, Vayidaber Par Melech Mitzrayim. Go speak to Par, king of Egypt. Vishalachas b'nei Yisrael me'artzai. And he shall send the Jewish people from his land. Vayidaber Moshe l'fnei Hashem Lemar. Moshe speaks before Hashem saying, we read that, sorry. All the Jewish people didn't listen to me. How will Paro listen to me? And I have sealed lips. Hashem spoke to Moshe and to Aaron. And he commanded them regarding the Jewish people, regarding Paro, king of Egypt, take the Jewish people out from Egypt. So the pasuk says Hashem spoke to Moshe and he gave them a charge. A charge regarding the Jewish people and a charge regarding Paro. Says Rashi, what does this mean? It means like this. Vayitzaveim al b'nei Yisrael. He charged them regarding b'nei Yisrael. What was the charge regarding the Jewish people? Be patient. Be patient with them. Work hard to tolerate, the problems they may give you. Vel Paro melech Mitzrayim. And what was the charge regarding Paro, king of Egypt? Tziva aleim, he commanded him them. Tziva alav, he commanded regarding him aleim to them. Tziva alav, he commanded them regarding him. Laklik like kaveh b'divrayim, to give him honor when they speak to him. Okay, to give him honor when they speak to him. Okay, zeh midrashim, that's a midrashic interpretation. So it's pretty clear that Hashem was telling Moshe and Aaron that although you are not going to be speaking like the way people typically speak to Paro, telling him, let your slaves go, okay? And we could add, and he's not going to be too happy about it, and as time goes on, you're going to be speaking harsher and harsher and warning him and threatening him, still, you have to speak with respect to him, okay? You have to speak respect to him. He's a king. And as a king, he deserves respect. So although you are basically going to be speaking, a lot of things are essentially disrespectful for him, you still have to do it in a respectful way because he's a king. He's a king. And the Aryeh from Rebbe Chasman Zatzal points out that, think about it, it's a hard thing to do. To at the same time threaten him about all the terrible things that are going to happen to him, but to do it with the kind of respect that you give a king, is a challenge. It's a difficult balance to keep, but it was a balance that Hashem told Moshe and Aaron they have to keep that balance. So the Ariel says, well, let's take this a further step. If this is how you have to deal with speaking to a king, a non-Jewish king, okay, then all the more so when we talk about speaking to another Jew. If this is how you have to speak to a non-Jewish king, then he says, this is how you make sure you speak to a Jew. Because as we find...
That's a Kalachomer.
Excuse me? We're not... The Kalachomer has nothing to do with that. Nothing to do with this.
Well, that's what he said. You speak to him, then.
Okay. He says, if this is what we do, then all the more so for a fellow Jew. And how do we know that you have to speak with a fellow Jew like a king? So we have a medrash that says that one of the questions that they're going to ask a person on the Day of Judgment is Himlachta es chavercha alecha benachas ruach. Have you made your friend a king over you benachas ruach in a pleasant manner? That means you have to see your fellow Jew as royalty, as a prince, as a king. And if that's how, and you have to do it, if this is the wording, I didn't look at the wording inside, benachas ruach, in the way that you deal with the person in a very calm and pleasant way. You have to treat your fellow Jew in that manner because you have to be mamlechim over you. You have to make him a king over you. You've got to treat him like royalty. And therefore, if you've got to treat him like royalty, when we find how you have to treat power royally, that even when you were rebuking him and threatening him, you still have to do it with the utmost respect. That means when you do the same thing to a fellow Jew, when you have to rebuke a fellow Jew. You got to sometimes speak harsh words to a fellow Jew. It doesn't mean that it's a field day with your words. You have to say what you have to say, but you still have to do it with the utmost respect. You still have to do it with the utmost respect. And that was the lesson this is what Moshe and Aaron were charged with regarding how to deal with Paray. But the Ariel says this is what we have to take a lesson from how we treat a fellow Jew who we have to be mamlech, who we have to, as it says, Himlachtas chavercha. Did you make your friend a king over you? That means, again, even when we are speaking to a Jew in a harsh way, in a way of rebuke, it still means we have to make sure we do it with the utmost respect. Now, he then, the Rav Leib Chassman now kind of goes into an interesting, I'll call it a little tangent. He says, now, if somebody comes over to you and says like this, and says, come on, you know, this is what Hashem told Moshe and Aaron to do, right? That this is emotion. To keep that kind of balance, you got to be emotion, Aaron. You got to be emotion to keep that kind of balance. You know, rebuke someone at the same time, be utterly, be the utmost respectful. That's for emotion, Aaron. That's not for us. And that he says, you have to give the following response. And the response has to do with a very interesting Tana de Belio, a medrash, that says like this. And this is a concept that's quoted many times. Chayiv Adam Loimar Masa Yiyu Maisa Lamaisa Avaisa Avram Yitzchak V'Yaakov. Person obligated to say, when will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers, Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? Save of Reb Leib Chassman, it means like this. It says, a person is supposed to say, when will my actions reach the actions of Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? That means like this. Do you want to demand from me I should have the same perception as Avram Yitzchak and Yaakov? I should be able to perceive and understand things on the level that they did? No chance. No chance. But my actions should reach them? My actions should be like them? I should be able to balance the idea of speaking rebuke and being respectful? Those, the actions of Yitzchak and Yaakov, that I have to try to reach. I have to try to emulate their actions. I have to be able to say, yes, I am doing the same thing Avraham Yitzchak did. Will I do it the same way? Will I do it the same exact way? I don't do it the same exact way. At the same time, though, but can I say that I will act like Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov? Yes, I'm obligated to say that. And the Rambam says that every person can be a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu, right? It doesn't say you can be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu. It doesn't say you can be a Talmud Chacham like Moshe Rabbeinu. But you can be a tzaddik. A tzaddik means you can now dedicate all your actions to the Rabbi Nishlem like Moshe Rabbeinu did. It's about actions. In actions, we can tell you, be like the greatest. And therefore, no one should say that this idea that you have to emulate Moshe and Aaron and speak respectfully to those who deserve respect, even when you're not necessarily speaking the most respectful kind of talk to them, is something that every Jew is obligated to do.
You could say if it's in the Chumash, it's for a reason, right?
That is true.
You can say it doesn't apply to me. No.
What? Well, so maybe it applies to earlier generations. It applies to this, it applies to that.
Oh,